rolling 10 months between releases, and we're pretty happy with the results, and I hope you are too.
Charles, same thing I said to somebody else. Your microphone is very high and kind of statically, and if you could turn it down, you'd be perfect.
He's on a wireless, that's why it's staticky.
Wow, it took us about 3 months combined to get 17 or 18 users in here. Now we got them in one night. That's good to see.
And these are, most of everybody are new, almost.
I feel nothing from Zachary there, just the fact that you're talking, but we can't hear what you're saying.
I heard Zachary tech type.
Hello, everyone. It looks like we have a full house today, 16 people.
Yeah, the room can take up to, I think, is it 500?
I think this one's limited to 25, but the one at Tech Talk, that one takes 500.
Well, I tried to lower my volume as most I could. How does this sound a little better?
Much better.
100%, so I wasn't picking on you. If you were recording this for future podcast, you would...
Luis Orlando has entered the room.
You would hear what I was talking about. You were going to think, wow, why did somebody say something to me? No, you are 100% better.
Perfect. Okay. All right, guys. Welcome, everyone. My gosh, the room is getting pretty full here. And we just wanted to, welcome everyone and thank you all for supporting Sendero. And I hope that you all like the latest release. And, we're here to answer your questions and to talk about GPS 5.0 and get your feedback. Because we've been working on this for, 10 months now. And we made a lot of changes in there. And want to get your reactions and figure out what you like, what you don't like, and where we can improve in the future. So we're pretty much open if you want to ask specific questions or want me to generalize some stuff what we worked on or why we worked on certain features and didn't work on others. I'm willing to entertain all of those type of questions as well. But, I don't really have a set agenda tonight, but, feel free to interject and we'll get this party started.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that 5.0 is a really good release and I really enjoyed being a part of the testing cycle and helping 5.0 be where it is today. And I think that Charles and Chris and everyone else in the Sendero group did a really, really good job with this particular release.
Hey, everyone. Lalo out in Los Angeles. Really quickly, could somebody remind me how to turn the progress or the percentage message off?
Using JAWS or what screen reader?
Yes, JAWS.
Just Alt-Tab to another window. That'll be the easiest way to do it.
JAWS user, you hold down your Insert key, tap for letter V. For Victor, get in your velocity setting, hit P for progress bar, and turn
Hippie it off. Hippie Kern has left the room.
And turn it off from there.
Mike May has entered the room.
That's only a temporary fix, so if you go out of the room, come back in, you got to redo it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Zach, we can't hear you at all. Sorry, man. May want to just type your questions if you have some.
Looks like we're getting better and better. We got Mike in here too, so we got 17 participants and 3 hosts.
My curiosity is, which side of the world is Mike in right now?
Just say hello to the group and then I'll jump out. Our maximum capacity is 20 here, so I don't want to take up a spot since Chris and Charles are already in here, but hello to everybody and thanks for showing up.
I just had a quick comment. I from the little I've been able to use it thus far, I really have enjoyed it. I just got a new compact flash card. The 1 gig just wasn't going to work, so I figured I'll get enough just to get me by for a while. So I went out and bought a 32 gig card, and it's working great. I like the actions menu a lot. I think that's really kind of nice because I don't always remember, every little minute detail, and it's kind of nice to be prompted when you're going through some new material.
Yeah, we really. That took a long time in coming, and I think it's a lot better to actually have it as a menu than the hotkey approach. And we tried to make the best of both worlds to make it a hotkey and a menu, so that and I just want to see what your guys' reaction to is that. And Zach, please tell me how to turn off the percentage messages to enable me to speak. I'm not sure, Zach, that was the issue. Because we didn't hear you at all, and Jerry gave a description. A quick way is just to not be in the chat window. Just get Alt-Tab to a different window, and then press the Control key to talk, but I really don't think that that's the issue. It has something to do with your microphone and your sound settings, so because we couldn't hear you at all. All right.
I think if you look at another feature of 5.0 that's really good as well, is just the ability to search in like different directions and based on different fields, as well as the ability to like modify the different points of interest. And I think overall, just 5.0 is a really, really good release, and just really can't say enough about it.
I would just say one more time for Jack, if you're focused into this room.
Sis Sweetman has left the room.
If you focus into this room, hold down your insert key, your jaw key, tap the letter V for Victor, hit P for progress bar, tab over, you can turn it off from there.
Actually, it's insert V, letter P, and then hit your space bar where it says announcement progress off, and then just hit enter. And as we said before, that is a temporary fix while you're in this room. So if you leave and come back in, then you'll have to do it again unless you permanently disable it under your configuration file. But anyway, this is not about JAWS, is it?
Well, let's get the control on the road.
Yep, Zach, it's still not working. So every time you try to speak, you're just muting everyone else from talking. So I'm not sure what to suggest on that. Okay, the actions menu, yeah, we love it. It was a joint effort between myself and Chris, and I think Kevin had a lot to say about that menu. We did a lot to make sure that anything that was spoken also had a Braille output to match, and that was, Kevin... keeping us honest on that front. Kevin, for all of you guys, was one of our best testers, and so he knows the product as well, if not better than I do. I think between him and Chris, the two of them know the product inside out and backwards, and then when they get stumped, then they ask me, and then I just look at the code to see what's going on. So it's been a wild ride, and so we want to hear your feedback. That's interesting that you like the actions menu. We want to put more things into menus as we move forward. What do you think of the there's so many features in here. Kevin mentioned the being able to search for points of interest in a certain direction of travel now, or any direction now, as well as full circle. How are you liking the response times? That most of the searches, you don't have to put in start and end distance. I think that's been a huge improvement over before, and that you should be able to find points of interest a lot faster than you ever could before. Is that the consensus? Is that what people are finding in the real world? Talk. Let me know.
I haven't got yet to really test this out, so I really don't have anything to say on the accuracy and everything of it yet.
I used the search a little bit. I was curious to see if Atlas had gotten around to changing an address. They put a Starbucks in near my place about a couple of blocks away. And, of course, it had just been put in as the 2007 maps came out, so I was curious to see if it had been incorporated into the 2008 maps, and sure enough, it had, and I used the search feature to get there. So it worked really well, and very, very quickly, too. I haven't had a chance to do a lot of searching with it yet, but I intend to do that once I get it back from the Humanware Hospital, where it has to go in to get its record button fixed
And the cool thing, let's say the Starbucks wasn't fixed in the 2008 map, now with 5.0, you can actually go in and erase that point of interest, that commercial point of interest, and record a new one with your user point of interest at that, probably even more accurate because you can record at the actual door and fill in all the details of the Starbucks with the address number, phone number, and whatever other details you might want to include.
So if I understood, when you rename that point of interest, that spot that a new business came in, it actually, zero in your footage, your feet to it, everything. Like if it was off center from the map, they'll actually narrow it in closer to the store for you.
If you rename the point of interest, it renames it at that latitude and longitude. Any of those details that you're going to edit of that point of interest, you can. It'll be at that latitude and longitude of the commercial POI. Now, if you record the user point of interest at the physical location, then yes, it will be more accurate.
Should we keep a list of anything we've renamed for future, for potential inclusion in something that can be shared with people down the line?
You can do that, and there's actually one point too, is if you rename points of interest or edit commercial points of interest, if you have to reinstall your POIs for whatever reason, your California POIs or your New York POIs, you're going to lose that edited information.
Zach, you asked a question here. You gave me a serial number. I checked that serial number, and it's basically the Los Alamos Schools owns that Empower, and it currently doesn't have any SMAs. So I don't know if that's really where you got this Empower from, if it's on loan to you or what have you. But that's when I type in that serial number, I get the Los Alamos Schools. So there's no upgrade available, free upgrade available for you at this point because you don't have any SMAs on that unit. You would have to purchase an upgrade or get your school to purchase an upgrade for you.
Just to add to what Chris was saying about reloading the user the points of interest for California or New York or whatever state you may be in. So let's say if you mess up and delete a whole bunch or renamed a few points of interest and save them accidentally, you can kind of do like an undo, but then this undo would affect all your all of the commercial points of interest. So it's a one-time undo for all points of interest.
I think it's pretty important, really, that for the first time one can delete a point of interest that is no longer there. If a business has gone out of business or whatever, it's very nice to be able to do that.
Yeah, and to give you guys an interesting tidbit, I went to the Dicarta conference. They had a conference in San Francisco last week. Dicarta is where we have our map engine from. And that basically, they do everything as far as, they're the rich map engine, and they're the rich map maps. We convert TeleAtlas GDF maps into rich map maps, and then we use Dicarta's rich map engine to access the maps. Well, they had a conference last week, and I was showing them 5.0 to their management and their developers. And they were floored when I came out with showing them how I implemented directional searching for points of interest using their engine as the core. And one of their top sales managers actually said, "I've been asking this for years, wanting to know what points of interest are ahead of me." And, you know, he's like, "Congratulations on actually doing it," and so he was pretty impressed that you know, this little company using their product was able to come up with directional searching for points of interest. So that is a huge feature. No other GPS unit really on the market has that ability right now. They were definitely talking about it at this conference I was at, so it's going that way. You know, you'll see this in the car navigations very shortly. So it's just kind of nice to be the first ones out.
I guess a big good job to you and Sendero Group, Charles, and that's really cool that especially the small company like Sendero, or I guess mainly you, figured out how to implement such a feature. And the main company, or the company behind the whole thing, wasn't able to figure it out. They should pay you, Charles.
Well, it was close that they actually wanted to hire me as one of their developers. And this was 2 years ago when I first started with Sendero. Well, I've been with Sendero forever, but full-time with Sendero, that it was that close to either going Dakarta full-time or Sendero full-time. So I think you guys will probably agree that I made the right decision.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd second that.
Well, say, when you guys got to 3.0 is when I got charged up with your GPS system. I would try to get it earlier, but the 3.0, I'm glad I got it after that. So you're doing a heck of a good job. One question, Joe. Map, when it come out, for some people, like here in San Antonio, there's still a lot. Ground down is still growing. Still a lot of construction, a lot of building, new division, new track, you name it. It's going on here. How long does it take to hear it because the development changed so much? It's important to keep up with the map. How long does it take now to get that address put on the map?
Well, that's a tough question for me, Jerry, because maps are changing every day in all parts of the world. So, you know, both map companies, TelAtlas and NavTech, are constantly updating their maps, like every quarter, okay? So once a quarter, every 3 months, they come out with new maps. Well, I can't keep up with that. If I was keeping up with that, that's all I would be doing is map updates for you guys, and you wouldn't get any new features. So Sendero's approach is once a year we do map updates, and then, you know, because it takes a lot of work to do maps, and both if you were part of the beta team and alpha team, you would realize just how much work is required to do a new map update. If you pulled Kevin aside or Chris or someone, they'll tell you how much time it takes to do new maps, because it physically takes me like a week or two just to compile the maps. Then it's up to the testers to find out if there's any problems. Any problems, then it's back to me, and then it's back and forth and back and forth, and then you're uploading gigabytes of data and making sure that the zip files are intact and everything else. So not an easy process. So yeah, if we were trying to keep up with TelAtlas every three months, well, one, you guys wouldn't buy it, because we would have to keep charging you every update. And why are you going to pay for 3 months? And, you know, did it fix my address? I don't know. You know, I can't. If I was trying to spend the time to figure out exactly what have changed between releases, that would be another person's full-time job. So, you know, so this is the approach that we took, for good or better or for worse. You know, we do it once a year, and, you know, they're continuously coming out with new, you know, they're driving the streets, they're coming out with pedestrian routes that we're looking at, tracks of overpasses for pedestrians and stuff, so we're looking into trying to get some of that data, just a lot of stuff. Okay, from our chat session here, we got some, what are the new features of 5.0? I will address that in a second. And hi, I was wondering, is it appropriate to ask, but will mobile speak users be able to enjoy version 5.0 soon? Let me tackle that one first. Since 5.0 came out, I've been feverishly working on trying to release the SDK. That's the software developer's kit that allows mobile geo, both mobile geo and sense navigation to function. So since 5.0 came out, I've been working on trying to release those as well as other maps for countries that we haven't released yet, that were released in, under 4 but haven't been released under 5 yet. So in tandem, I'm working on both of those issues. I'm at this point, I would say about 50% done getting the SDK out. So I'm hoping by end of this week that I will actually release the SDK, but that's not 100% for sure. Unfortunately, after that, or fortunately for me, the week after, I'm going on vacation for a much-needed vacation to Hawaii for a week. So there will be no development on anything for a week after that. And then the week after that is Thanksgiving. So it's hopefully I'll get it out beforehand, but you know, and then it's up to Mobile Geo and or Code Factory and HIMSS to implement the 5.0. There's a lot of changes, folks, in the SDK to facilitate this. Sections of code were completely rewritten from scratch. That they will need to create new user interfaces to, especially the whole point of interest section will have to be completely rewritten for all of those, both of those companies. So, you know, it, you know, the SDK getting released, you know, is one thing. Then it's up to them to fit it into their schedule and figure out what changes and what features they will add, because there's a lot that's been added, and each one will require UI changes for both of those companies to implement, like create a route from replay, you know, the whole directional searching for points of interest, and there's much, much more that, and then I'll get into the features of 5.0 from 4.22. So, actually, I will release the floor for a second, and then I'll go into what has changed between 4.0 and 5.22, but I hope I answered your question on the SenseNav and the mobile geo front.
Yeah, I think the Synderva group approach with just updating the maps once a year is a really good one, because just from being a tester myself, the map updates do take a good while, and I'd probably say if Synderva was spending doing quarterly updates, probably they'll it would be extremely hard to catch up with all the different updates, and probably by the time they finish one, a new map's going to come up, so it's going to be an ongoing cycle if that were to happen, but I think the one-year update is a good approach.
Charles, wanted to ask you, a few months back, I had written an email to you, and this was asking about, or actually, first of all, telling you that there was a possibility that we could incorporate the bus stops in the Los Angeles area into GPS, and what kind of a format you would need in order to do that. A friend of mine works for MTA here in Los Angeles, and he has spoken to his supervisor, and apparently they have agreed to release the information. However, we need to know what format you need in order for you to do that. Sent you an email regarding this, and I didn't hear from you, so I'm wondering if you remember getting that or not. And is this a possibility?
Definitely a possibility. I vaguely remember the email, and it was at a point where the whole point of interest database was getting completely rewritten, so send it to me again, please. And I think I at least replied. I would imagine I would, and I normally do. But I will. I'm still trying to shake out what the right format is. But I think I have a pretty good idea of how I want it. All right. There's your email. Thank you. And I'll see what I can do. Definitely want the data, and I will, you know, I'll try to come up with something for you. We do get our bus route data from other companies, agencies. So I'm sure that they can get it to me in the format. Just need to hammer out the details. So it should happen, and we'll definitely work with you to make that happen. And let me just now get on to the other question, which was the new features from 5.0 from 4.2.
Sorry, Charles, at this question, but I don't want to get into the, on the Geo. I just only want a question on the Sendero 5.0. And in Geo in the future, will they be in the same category of functionality towards performance, and they be doing the same type of feature, Geo and the M-Power?
I'm sorry, Jerry. My daughter was sort of crying in my ear. Chris or Kevin, did you catch that and know how to answer that?
Yeah, I think the right answer is the user interface, however mobile geo or sense navigation decide to make the user interface. They could make for directional searches, for example, the directions in a list. You know, it's really going to depend, and it's also going to depend on the time constraints that they have to put all this stuff in. I wouldn't expect, and this is just me thinking out loud, I wouldn't expect the next version of SenseNav or the next version of Mobile Geo to have every single feature that was put in 5.0. I don't think I could see that, because then they'd have to go through all development and testing, beta tests, alpha tests, and all that good stuff as well on the product, just to make sure that they didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah, I guess even looking at like Mobile Geo for the first version, they have... I'm pretty sure that looking at 4.22 in Mobile Geo, there's probably not all the features in Mobile Geo version 1 that was contained in 4.22 of Sendero GPS, so not all the features are going to make it in, but hopefully a good number of them will.
Right. Two examples I can think of offhand are the creation of manual routes, that's not in Mobile Geo 1.0, and also the GPS replay functionality is not in Mobile Geo 1.0 again, so it's all going to depend on when they put these features in.
I would just say briefly about SenseNav, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but I've used it quite a bit, and it seems to me that most of what was in 4.2 is probably in SenseNav, maybe not quite everything, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Again, these are slightly different platforms that these people are using to develop on, so there are going to be some differences. They're not going to all be identical.
Yeah, Robert, I think you are correct.
I'm not asking you to be perfect or anything, but our technology is changing so fast that these are the questions that people are asking all the time. And I heard these questions, and these are my questions, but I heard questions from other people similar to this question. So you guys know that too.
Yeah, these are all good products, at least the ones I've had experience with. I've had experience recently with SenseNav, with Wayfinder Access, and, of course, with the Sendero product. And I would just say that, in my opinion, the most information right now in any product that I've worked with is in Sendero 5.0. And the most information that a blind person really needs, in my opinion, is in this product. For example, I just went for a walk the other night, and I just used Wayfinder Access. And to be honest with you, I was able to use it, but while I was out there, I got lost and got turned around and could not get enough specific information to get headed back in the same direction. And I would not have gotten lost if I had had 5.0, so with me, and that's not putting down any other product. I'm just trying to say clearly that I'm not putting any product down. They're all good, but I just have to say that for my money, 5.0 is leading the pack right now.
How is that? Biggest complaint people have because of the Dell, but I have the Dell. I love it. It's too big. You know, so everybody wants everything you put in your pocket. So that's why I asked the question.
I guess if you're looking for a smaller solution, the smallest one you can get is the PK, and also have to agree with what Robert Carter was saying, because I've been doing a bit of playing with Wayfinder Access, and there's some stuff that I do like about Wayfinder Access, such as the address lookup and the ability to do postal code searches and things like that, postal and zip code searches, but I think in terms of usability and the amount of information that's given and just the entire interface and the data that's given, I think that the Syndero GPS version 5.0 gives a lot more information and more easier to understand format, and also just all the different keystrokes that are possible, and how I think it's really nice how there's two different approaches for users. If people are more, if they like keystrokes, then there's that option, as well as for those people who like the menu approach, there's that option as well, with the point of interest actions menu, address, and all the different actions menus that are in the system. But again, not putting down any systems, but I think that in terms of information and usability, Syndero GPS wins.
It's really nice to have a GPS system that's on your mobile phone, and you can just carry nothing but the phone. And I was actually using the receiver built into the phone itself, and that was working, you know. So there's some pros and cons for sure. But anyway, we'll shut up, Charles, and let you talk about features.
All right, sounds good. But yeah, no, I have mobile geo as well, and you know, I use the internal GPS receiver on that sucker, and it's great, you know. Very, very cool. So I'm really give a big thumbs up to Code Factory for doing all their hard work, and I can't wait to get them the next SDK to, you know, have directional searching for points of interest on your cell phone. This is going to be amazing. So, here we are. We're going to talk about what the new features are in 5.0. And first and foremost, well, we have brand new maps. 2008, and it's funny, we started actually in January of 2008, and the beta went on so long that we actually got March's and then July's new maps and points of interest, and decided, hey, why not give you guys July? So you guys actually have like the latest and the greatest maps and points of interest. And it also, you know, for all of Canada, U.S., Europe, etc. So this is like cutting edge stuff that you're getting the absolute best maps available at this time. So you guys kind of lucked out that our beta went so long, that because we actually created maps in January and then recreated them before we actually released everyone. So so that was kind of good. For new enhancements, points of interest, hands down, was the main thing that we worked on. I completely ripped out the old point of interest engine and created a hybrid approach using the Descartes Rich Map engine and an SQL database underneath. And this hybrid approach allows us to give very quick searching in proximity to your position for points of interest. And then the power of an SQL database to do database lookups on specific fields, have everything in separate fields now instead of just a name and a description field. So we have all of these separate fields now, which is just incredible for points of interest. Phone number, addresses in a single field, the street, everything's all parsed out for you, so that you can get the address line by line, just the phone number if you want that. So that'll be a great advantage for mobile geo. They won't have to parse through and possibly get a fax number, that they'll actually be able to go to the phone number section and get the phone number. Email, web address, there's tags that you can add on for specific points of interest. There's stuff for the future to allow us to have not only the at street location of the point of interest for routing, but also to direct you to the front door potentially in future versions. Let's see, what else did we add in? One-of-a-kind POI functionality. The ability to search for points of interest in one's direction of travel, or instead of just ahead of you, behind you, to the left, to the right, and then north, south, east, west, or full circle, being able to find all of these points of interest in any of those directions is now possible. Most of the time, you should never even have to do a start and an end distance. You should be able to pick a POI category and or subcategory, and then find your point of interest in lightning speed. And if you pick a category or subcategory that really doesn't have a lot of things in it, aside from like shops and bonus, the system will look out thousands of miles for these points of interest and come back relatively quickly, if not instantaneously in some situations. So incredible amount of speed that we now have to find points of interest. That being said, you could say, well, I want to search for all points of interest, and you type in some point of interest that's 100 miles away. It's going to have to look through thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of points. It's going to take forever. Don't do that, you know. If you know that the point of interest is miles away, then, you know, use the advanced options for searching and start that search that distance. And Scott has his hand up, so I'll let you talk there for a second. All right. I guess it was a missed call. Zach wants to know, my grandmother's address is this address with 4.22. It was at a different address. Will this be correct? I have no idea. You know, that's address interpolation. It's based on a couple of things. It's my interpolation of the address ranges that I'm given from the map engine and the map. And without specifically going there, I wouldn't know if it's been fixed or not. So it's sort of it depends on if the map engine, the TelAtlas, has corrected the mistake or not. I don't believe that I would have had a mistake myself, but you never know. So that's on a case-by-case basis, Zach. So let's see. Not only do Sendero products have 10 times the amount of points of interest as other GPS companies, we can now search any of the 15 different fields for a point of interest. And that's what I just mentioned, that we have all of these different fields that you can search on. And some of the great things, let's say you're on Main Street. Okay, you're on Main Street, and you do now an advanced search. Thanks, Kevin. You do an advanced search. You can now type in, you type in the string that you want to search, you type in the category or subcategory that you're searching on, and when it asks you in the advanced search for a field, instead of just picking the name of the point of interest, you pick like the street name. So you pick street. Then you type in Main Street. So it's going to search along Main Street, because it's doing proximity searches to where you are, search along Main Street for that those points of interest that you specified in whatever category. And so if you pick restaurants, Italian, and you're walking down Main Street, it's going to find all the Italian restaurants along Main Street. So, or, you know, if you know the address, that it's 1500, but you don't really know, you know, what street it was on, something 1500, I know it's 1500, well, then you search in the address field for 1500, and then it'll look for all businesses around you, points of interest, that have 1500 in the address field. Very powerful feature. We now have four different types of points of interest for searching on points of interest, because we have so many points of interest, you know, millions of points of interest now. We needed to give you guys the ability to really find these points, because having it and getting at the data that you want is paramount. So the first one is the quick one, find points of interest near me. So that's either .4 or an F. You press that, boom, it tells you what's your nearest point of interest in all, it's searching in 360 degrees all around you for the nearest points of interest in all categories. So that's the find nearest. Okay, that's the most basic feature we have for points of interest. Next, we have, and I think it's read with F, and Chris will flag me if I'm wrong here. Read with F or space F is the it's the normal search, okay, and the simple search, and that allows you to pick a category and a subcategory, as well as the name field. We search in the name field for points of interest, and that's, you know, so that gives you, you know, a category like restaurants, subcategory of coffee shops, and you can type in STAR for Starbucks, and you press go, and it's going to find all of the Starbucks around you. You know, you don't even have to type in the full name. You don't even have to type in star. You know, it's just going to find all the coffee shops, which 99% of them is going to be Starbucks anyway. So that's the simple search. Then you get into the advanced search, and that is backspace with F or control with F, and that will give you the ability to give a start distance, well, category, subcategory, a start distance, end distance if you want to do that, but most of the time I don't even think you need that. And then your search direction, ahead of you, behind you, full circle. I'll get to you, Scott, in a second. Then which field do you want to search for? The name field, the zip code field, the street name field, and then what do you want to search on there? So that's the advanced search. And then the fourth type of search is user definable search, where you can, and this I don't remember the QT version. On the BT, it's backspace with .3, and someone will pipe up with what the QT version is. But and it's probably in another window here that I can't get to because I'm holding down the control key. So type it in, or I'll get to it after. The backspace with 3 is the user definable search, and by default it'll find user points of interest that are near you, but you can change that to be any category and subcategory that you want. And so that could be, you know, your favorite type of restaurant, so like a or a shop or whatever, you know, it's completely up to you. It's control U is the command. Thank you, Chris. What is the recalculate command now? I think recalculate route. That was another question asked in the chat window. The recalculate command, recalculate route, I don't think it's changed. It's backspace with .2 on the BT, and we'll find out what that is on the QT. I don't remember these off by top of my head. I look in the, oh, it's slash, backslash on the QT. That's right. I knew that. So these are the different types of searching for points of interest that you guys have available now to you, which is just, you know, light years ahead of what we had in 4.22. So that has really been the main focus for us, is rewriting from scratch the whole point of interest database. And Zach was saying that, remember that it was on 4.22 backspace with .3. Oh, yeah, we did move that. You're right, Zach. I forgot about that. I think that was, we did have that at one point. So, yeah, we did change that. Thanks for pointing that out. I completely forgot that we had that as a recalculate route button, I guess. Right, Chris? Yeah, we moved it because .2, oh yeah, .2 dealt with roots. And that's why we did that. So that's why we changed it. So good question. I will let up for a second and give someone else a chance to talk, and then I'll continue on with some of the features in 5.0.
You were talking about different categories. What determines if something gets put under the bonus category? I really determine that if someone else has. Could you tell me?
Sure, that's a great question. See, the thing is, Tele Atlas gets its data from a number of different companies, some of which give it to them in their format. So they say, you know, restaurant Italian has to be ID 7325. That's the category, their category number. They give that to Tele Atlas. They know what to deal with it. Party XYZ gives Tele Atlas some data. They have their own, you know, reporting scheme, which doesn't match Tele Atlas. Tele Atlas can't go and verify hundreds of thousands of points of interest from these companies that don't give it to them in their format, so they just throw them into bonus, and therefore we just throw them into bonus. We're not going to do that either. Although some of them we have. Some of them I was able to look through and see some of their categories, and I was able to say, oh, well, those are restaurants. And so we moved over, I think, 300,000 or 400,000 points of interest from the bonus category into real categories in this release as well. So, yeah, we tried to do that. Yeah, you're right, Jerry. You can now find pubs. You know, depending on where you are, you can find it in England if you have the England maps, because we're searching out over 10,000, up to 10,000 miles. So, yeah, this is pretty amazing. The other big, huge thing is points of interest categories are now on demand. So that means that... Romania, yeah, we don't have maps from Romania. Sorry, Jerry. So they're dynamic, which means that if the map point of interest and maps that you've loaded doesn't have any pubs, well, pubs is not going to show up in your category and subcategory list. So only those categories and subcategories that you actually have data for will actually show up now, which is just amazing. So before, you had every possible category and people would be searching for, you know, ever looking for something that they didn't even have data for. So, you know, now we don't show it. Now, if you create a new point of user point of interest, we give you all the categories and all the subcategories, because you might be creating one of these pubs that you didn't have access to before. So that's why we give it to you at that point. Zach, for the next release, maybe you should make undefined category where you just put, well, undefined is bonus. So you put it under bonus or undefined. I can rename it to undefined if you prefer undefined, but it's the same thing, Zach. I know Scott, maybe he's gone now, but he was asking a couple times to see if he's here. Okay, I just saw your hand up a few times, Scott, so I was just curious if you had a question. And Jerry, how long ago since your major release? Well, the last major release we had was in, what was it? Well, the major release was in July? Oh, okay, kill myself. No problem, Scott, thanks. I was just curious. I see your hand coming up. But I do see someone else's hand coming up, so I'm just wondering. I'll give the floor in a second. July. Thank you, Kevin. We had July was 4.2 was in July, and 4.22 was in December. 4.22 was a minor upgrade from 4.0. 4.0 was the major release. If we're looking at major releases, 5.0, that it's been over a year. So definitely a lot has happened since then. I'm going to check on a few other things here and then go on to the continuing on the 5.0 features.
I really think this is a release.
Charles LaPierre. Thanks, Jim.
This release is a very good release. I love it. And each time you guys do a release, it's much better. I don't know if anybody out there that is keeping up with Sendero.
Thanks, Jerry. We definitely try. And, you know, when we release, we want, you know, We there's a lot of thought and a lot of hard work that goes into each release, and I hope that you guys, from the responses that I'm getting, I know that you guys appreciate that, because we definitely want to put out quality product and make each release worth your while, and so thank you for that.
Can I ask a question regarding response time on GPS connection?
What do you mean by response time? You mean connecting to your GPS receiver?
I'm not explaining it right, sorry. When I'm on the freeway, because, you know, besides the pedestrian, I understand the pedestrian side of it. But when I'm on the freeway, and I'm out driving, of course, but my wife is, so, and she really needs my help. So, you know, I don't mean that she's handicapped, but there is two handicapped, because she does not know the area she's at. She's very scared and very insecure. Now, GPS is real important for me when I'm in this situation. Can't emphasize how important it really is. I try to tell people, they don't understand sometimes. But sometimes when we go over a lot of overpass, underpass, interchange connection, like being in LA, in Los Angeles, going on the 5 connection to the 110, or you're shooting over to, after you pass Los Angeles, you're in the Orange County area and stuff. But you know, connections is real important for quick response. Is this quicker now? With a new update to the 5.0 now, the response time much faster?
I'm not sure if it's much faster. We've definitely tried to make sure that wasn't any slower. And we also tried to add stuff that, you know, like one of the features is looking for intersections as you pass them. So if you're finding that things are not updating as quickly for you, then you should start turning off some of these things that are automatic, like the automatic announcements, turning off intersections and city and state and stuff like that. But we definitely have tested it, and it didn't seem to have any performance hit. So I don't think we've made it worse in 5.0, and there's been definitely a few places where we've actually improved response times for sure. So, you know, it's a constant, well, we want new functionality, which adds more processing time, you know, so you take a hit, but then you gain it back because we're doing something more efficiently. So it's always a constant thing. So I would say it's, that we came out ahead in 5.0. I think that's fair to say. Okay, some other things that came in 5.0. Not only can you search ahead of you for points of interest, but also in the look around, you have the ability to specify which direction that you want points of interest to be searched in. So that look around can be all around you, or it can be just ahead of you. So a nice tying into that functionality. The other thing that's a big, huge improvement, and I know Mobile Geo is going to love this because they've been complaining about it since Mobile Geo came out, and that is when you're on the street that the point of interest is on, and you have a heading, that you're going to be told if the point of interest is on the left-hand side or the right-hand side of the road. So that's a neat, really cool feature. You know, so you're walking along, and even though it says, you know, that point of interest is, you know, 300 feet slight left, that's really to the center of the street, because that's where these points of interest are for Tele-Atlas for routing purposes. But it'll now say that it's on the left side or the right side of the street that you're on. If the point of interest is not on the street that you're on, you're not going to get that information, because you know, I don't know which direction that you're going to be going down that street. So how do I know if it's on the left or on the right at that point? So if it's on the same street that you're on, that's when you're going to get the information. Right. Now when you do point of interest searches, you get the category and subcategory of the or subcategory of the point of interest. So before, you know, you'd get these weird names like look around events that, you know, would say like Pete's Palace. And you'd be like, what was that? And so then you would do POI details on that before, and it would say it's, you know, let's say restaurant Korean. I don't know. I'm just making it up. So, you know, so then you'd be, oh, okay, that makes sense or whatever. So now it's going to just say Pete's Palace, Korean. So then you would know, oh, okay, that's a restaurant or Italian or, you know, or medical services or whatever happens to be, you know. So that's definitely been an enhancement. Let's see. Right. In that's just minor. It was just talking about advanced searches for points of interest. If you don't put in a beginning distance, it skips the ending distance. So that was kind of minor. Told you about the POI categories and subcategories. We completely revamped that whole point of interest categories from over 50 down to 20, and made things a lot more, well, we added all the, for restaurants, like real restaurant categories, like Italian and French or coffee shops, etc., instead of having names like Starbucks and A&W and some weird names. So it's definitely a lot more concise now. Zach was asking, so as you're going down the street and you wanted a Smith's grocery store, would it indicate which side it's on? Yes, it will. If it's on the same street that you're on and you're, you know, and either a POI look-around event happens or you search for that point of interest and it's on your street and you have a direction, like the system knows that you're going north on Main Street, it will then tell you, yeah, what side of the street it's on for sure. Being able to edit points of interest, let's see here, well, actually editing any point of interest now. We can search, we can either delete, edit all the different commercial or user points of interest now, which is a huge, huge new feature in 5.0. Let's see. And you can get an individual POI categories. So, as you can see, we spent a lot of time on point of interest in 5.0, being able to go down. Because before, when you did POI details, it would just spit out at you all at once. Now you can actually go through each one and get that information, which is great for, you know, for your Braille users or anyone really to be able to. And it's all in a menu system, to be able to get at that information line by line, and have it repeated or spell it or whatever, you know, whatever you want, copy different things to the clipboard. All that functionality is just incredible. And once you go into the whole POI details/editor, you can then go up through your point of interest list. You're not just limited to that specific point of interest that you have viewing. You can actually go up and go to the beginning of, like if you searched for all restaurants in your area, well, you can go up and down the list inside the POI details. To, you know, so if you're on field let's say, phone number, you can start moving up and down the list, and it'll keep telling you. It'll actually tell you the name of the point of interest, and then the field that you're on, it'll repeat that. So, you know, Starbucks, 255-3544, and then you move up. Pete's Coffee, 896-22553, you know. So it's just amazing to be able to go up and down the list of these points of interest, being on a field, and getting all of that data is just so much power that I bet most of you don't even know what you can do with the system yet. And, you know, it's just pretty, pretty cool stuff that we're dealing with right now.
Question for you with regard to editing POIs. If, let's say, a market on a particular street changed names, what was once a Lucky's now becomes a Ralph's, say. So you make that change, save it, and then does that edited POI then become a user POI, or does that, you know, that's number one. And then number two, when a map update comes along, then do you still have the edited POI as well as the new one that would sort of overlay the original and that kind of thing? I don't know if that makes sense, but hopefully it does.
It does make sense. The first question is, it stays as commercial point of interest, but it has a new date modified of the date that you modified it, so today's date that you modified it. Right now, as it stands, there's no way, so if a new map update and point of interest update comes into effect, all of your edits, deletes, and stuff go away. We're hoping that before something like that happens, we will allow you to probably will create some utility that will run on under Windows that will go through your commercial points of interest looking for modified points of interest, extract them all into a file, and you'll be able to send Sendero that file, which will, and because we now have the third-party IDs of these points of interest, we can then, when TeleAtlas gives us a new update, we can actually go and put your updates over top of TeleAtlas. So that's a possibility that we're thinking about in the future, but that hasn't been done yet, but that's where we were going with this. So right now you'll lose them, but we're hoping that we might be able to save them, and we put the blocks in place to do that. There's a few things in Lucky's is now Emerson's. There was a few things under the chat window that I wanted to see. Wow. So if you go, off topic, I'm going on an airplane in a few weeks. 4.22 had an airplane feature, I believe. Is it still there, and how do I use it? Yeah, if you're given permission by the pilot to use GPS on an aircraft, and we always suggest that you get permission, that it will based on your speed, it will search out greater distances and stuff for points of interest, etc. So yeah, completely works on an airplane for sure. Mike's used it a number of times. How far, Jerry's asked, how far do you walk off the street and go into a parking lot before you lose your street? That's a good question. I don't remember. I think Chris has done that a few times. It'll actually, 50 feet is sort of the minimum. That's sort of the magic number that we use. But it will still tell you that you're X number of feet from the street. So, you know, you can go into a parking lot, but it's going to find the nearest street and tell you how many feet you are away from that street. So that's kind of nice. But yeah, if you're more than 50 feet, I don't think then we use that for finding your point of interest in your direction of travel with it being on the left or the right-hand side of the street at that point. I don't think we use that. So I think that's the answer to that question. Let's see, back to some of the features for 5.0. maximum distance now has been extended to 10,000 miles. Before, I think we were in 1,000-mile increments, so we'll now search up to 10,000 miles. When you perform a POI search, and you expand the search, when you go backwards in the list, it remembers everything you've searched for in that same search. So if you search for restaurants and you search and it finds, you know, the 10 restaurants near you, and then you go past that, it'll start searching again, continuing. Well, then you can actually go backwards and forwards in the list, and it remembers everything. Let's see. Say the airplane is at altitude 40,000 feet. Will GPS indicate that number? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll always tell you what the altitude is when you're in an airplane, so you can always ask it what altitude you're at and what speed you're going at and the whole bit. Now, it's ground speed, but yeah. That's another thing. We've added nautical miles to Imperial and Metric. So, and we've improved the speed. We're converting knots into miles per hour, and we were slightly off on that. So we've actually increased the accuracy of miles per hour, and we've added also nautical miles and knots to our units. We've also added British American English to the product, so that for our friends in the UK, you now can set yourself to use UK English, and instead of bars, you'll get stuff like pubs, and instead of ramps, you get what was the name of it? Slip streets. So just some different terminology, which they really appreciated us fixing for them. We talked about the actions menu. That's a new in this. For either points of interest, address lookup, or lat long lookup, you now have an actions menu that you can specify if you want to set your, and it's a menu. You set your virtual position to, create a point of interest, the destination, or set and create a destination and create a route virtually or a vehicle to that destination. So, that's been a huge improvement.
What is your suggestion, Charles, or Chris, or Kevin, when you walk into it? From the street in a pedestrian mode on a route, and then you go into a large shopping center parking lot, and you're going to walk a long way to get to the mall, and can you automatically create a route from there, like your GPS got you there, but now you walk into that parking lot now. Can you create a route from there, or you have to recreate a route and save it into a folder, or does your GPS take over and then, or is it creating points of interest?
You can do it a couple of ways. One way, if you have a replay recording, you could. The next time you go back to that place, use that replay and create a route directly to the doorway. Or once you get to the point of interest or the commercial point of interest or the entry to the parking lot, you can use the getting warmer method to find your way the rest of the way, providing again that you have a user point of interest. And actually, I did that in the latest audio tutorial of walking outside. I used the got to the edge of the parking lot and then used the getting warmer method to find the entry to the Rite Aid that I was trying to get to.
And one more question. The trigger could come out with a breeze Will the Sendero implement the Breeze too?
Well, no. put it bluntly. No, the Trekker Breeze is a, you know, is a simple tool that has limited functionality, but there's only a few buttons on it, and they do that specific task. You know, so a person that wants a Trekker Breeze just wants very basic functionality, doesn't want all the bells and whistles, doesn't do any power searching, doesn't do, you know, just wants to go and basically it's for a person maybe with there's a lot of their main target, they told me, was more of the elderly, really, is what the Trekker Breeze is for. That you have a simple device that you turn it on, it does everything for you, and you know, and you go with someone to create the routes that you want, and once you've created the routes by using a replay, basically is what they're doing, then they'll create a route from that. So that's that. Sendero, you know, we have all that functionality. So, you know, the only thing that we could do is maybe make our user interface easier to use for maybe like the VA or something like this, which we already have plans to do. So that's the answer to that, Jerry. But your question about going into parking lots and stuff, finding creating routes and stuff, is exactly, is what sort of the Breeze is doing as far as creating a route from replay. Well, we have that now in 5.0. We have the ability to create a route from a replay. I think we were both, designing that feature at the same time, the folks at HumanWare and Sendero at the same time. There was no collaboration or even, you know, we didn't know what each other was doing, and we both implemented the same thing. I'm not sure who turned out better. We'll have to let you guys, you know, decide that, or people that have access to the Breeze, see how well ours behaves compared to theirs. But you know, we push the envelope a little more because we have a keyboard. So while you're creating routes now, we have the ability to add what we're calling annotations to the route. So you're walking along, you can press a key, and Kevin or Chris can let me know what the key sequence is. I don't remember. I just program this stuff. You guys tell me the keys. Space or read with W. Thanks, Chris. I love this. This is great. You have the ability to add these annotations. As you're walking along, something happens. You're like, oh, that's something I want to tell Sendero about. Or, oh, that branch keeps hitting me in the face right here. You press the space W, read with W, and you type, watch out for low branch or something. employee support. Yeah, that's exactly it. Or the system told me such and such, and that's wrong. You know, so you have things like that where you can type it in. But that's embedded right into the replay now. So that's one thing to be able to. And then when you play back the replay, you'll hear these annotations. You'll hear a sound effect and the annotation spoken at that point in time, exactly when you recorded that replay, that annotation, which is huge. That's just one. That's important in itself, okay? Especially for tech support, because you could give us these replays with these things and saying, well, it said I was going north on this street, and I really was going south. What's going on here? You can type that in there and send it to us, and now we'll know exactly what's going on because you recorded exactly at the time that it happened. Or, you know, you can do it the other way where it's important to you. You know, there's a bench on my left. Watch out for the pothole. Watch out for the branch or whatever. So you create this replay, and then when you go back listening to the replay, you'll hear that. We took it one step further. When you create a route from that replay, will actually put those annotations into your route, and they're spoken to you as you're going down the route. So we really tried to make this very integrated and seamless, and just do what you would expect the system to do. So that was a really cool feature that we had a lot of fun with. Another thing that we've done is look around. People were wanting to change the time interval. So it was default before to 12 seconds. We've now made it user definable down to a minimum of every 5 seconds, but whatever you want the interval to be. We added a cool new feature for if you go above a certain speed limit, that a siren goes off. So, you know, you're the backseat driver. Your wife kind of speeds sometimes, or husband. You know, had a lead foot there. And you're like, you know, you find out, well, what the speed is on this highway? You know, it's 65 miles an hour. Okay, type in 65 miles an hour. Once you go above 65 miles an hour, Jerry just said he did that to his wife. And, you know, it says that you've reached that speed limit. So that was a cool little feature that we tucked into 5.0 just for the fun, you know, make it fun. Look around intersections. We spent a little time on there. Now that when you go, we're checking for intersections once a second now, okay? It's and before, above 15 miles an hour, we stopped telling you about intersections. Well, we heard from a lot of people that purchased Mobile Geo that they're on buses, and they want to hear the intersections when they're above 15 miles an hour so they know what stop they're supposed to get off at. So we've added that ability, and we actually made the default now above 50 miles an hour, 50, that we don't announce intersections anymore. But you can change that number to whatever you want. And above 15 miles an hour, we don't give you the distance and bearing anymore to the intersection. We just tell you the cross street of the intersection. So, you know, you don't keep hearing as you're going down the freeway at, you know, 45, 50 miles an hour, you don't keep hearing, you know, X number distance head to such and such. You just hear such and such, like Jones Street, Main Street, 3rd Street, 4th Street, you know, as you're whipping down the road. So that was a really cool thing. And hey, that's completely user-definable. You know, you can move that 50 miles an hour down to 15, then you don't hear anything anymore, just like before, above 15 miles an hour. Below 15 miles an hour, we'll still tell you the distance and bearing to that intersection. Right, and Kevin reminded me that we have a sound effect, which was an old sound effect that we brought back, which used to be for intersections of waypoints way back when in version 2 and version 3, I believe. We had this little, we called it 3.5, thanks. We called it Tweedle. And that's been brought back now for the intersection. And we also, in Braille, will say intersection or something like that, or cross street. I forget what we did. Let's see. There's now new sound effects for approaching intersection. Thanks. Look around sounds for approaching turn. We now have a clicker, just like a regular clicker on in a car for a turn signal. We have new sounds for intersection, city changes, state changes, street, and map changes. All those things we now have sound effects for. And if you don't like them, just delete them out of your GPS folder, sounds folder. You know, so, the turn now, you're right, turn now is the clicker. The approaching was different. I think we kept, we did change the approaching. It's now approaching as a jingle, right? We did do that. We made it more evident. Oh, something's really, and I think, is it Mobile Geo? No, it's It was SenseNav that actually we got that from HIMSS. You're right. Yeah, we got the approaching sound effect from HIMSS, and I really liked it, and so we implemented that. Let's see. What else we got?
Well, one thing I just wanted to comment on, I'm going to have to leave before too long, but I just wanted to compliment Chris and Kim and all of us who are working on it various ways on the documentation. Is, in my mind, much improved, much more detail. The important information is all there, both in the manual, and there's a great new audio tutorial that really covers a lot of critical stuff. So I encourage everyone to take a careful read and listen to that documentation.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Appreciate that. And I appreciate your help in all of the beta testing and everything. It was you and Kevin, you know, and Scott was there too. Robert Sweetman's in the room here. He was great too. The beta team, the alpha team, was just incredible. I couldn't have asked for a better team. We had a number of folks from the UK that was helping us with some of the roundabouts and different speed issues and stuff like that. There, all incredible. So it was very nice to have all that feedback. And you know, that was the other thing that we've completely fixed is roundabouts, and it now tells you take the third exit. So that's a huge improvement, over before. So definitely a lot of work has been into all that, and the documentation, yeah, Kim and Chris deserve a big kudos and a big round of applause for all of that hard work. And the audit tutorial Chris did by himself, just incredible. He did an amazing job on that, so I really wanted to thank him for that. Some of the other new features, we have now a new advanced GPS subsystem under GPS options that we moved some of the other features into that were not as common. We have a completely new licensing scheme that's been improved to allow everyone to be able to download the same EXE install for the MPower or the PK. And then based on what you've purchased as far as maps, you now have license keys. So we have a new license key protection scheme in place for the product and for the maps and points of interest. Which definitely has improved functionality and ease of use for us to be able to go to, to all these different platforms and different companies now, and being able to offer trial 15-day trial versions to everyone, including Mobile Geo and Sense Navigation in the future. We also have a new information system in the product under help. There's an information center that we have the manuals in there. We have the version numbers. We have what number of maps, the commercial points of interest, user points of interest, how many things are in there. A lot of information is there. That's a great place to find some stuff. Bluetooth GPS receivers. The GPS receivers is now a menu where it used to be you had to remember the keys and stuff to press, B for Bluetooth, S for serial, all of that. Now it's an actual menu. We have the changes doc and command summary there in the information center. Kevin was reminding me. Let's see. We're getting near the end here, folks. Let's see. Oh, that was a neat feature that was added that I don't know if a lot of you know about, and that is, or recognized, but in certain areas, when you're doing an address lookup, and let's say, for instance, you type in San Jose, well, because of how the maps are laid out, there could be a number of different San Jose's as far as the city. and those like San Jose area, San Jose, Santa Clara County, and then just plain old San Jose. Well, now, before we used to just give you the first one no matter what. Now, if you've typed in San Jose and San Jose is there, we'll actually move you down into the list onto San Jose directly. So that should help when doing address lookups, that we put you on what we think is really what you wanted to begin with. So that was a nice little feature that Mike actually asked for, that I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. We should add that. And I think that just about does it, unless I forgot something that either Chris or Robert or Kevin can remind me. But I think I've went through all of the different features. There's a lot. You know, we have over 40 features and improvements that we've added. Support for UEB Braille, there was some issues there, so we fixed that. So a lot of stuff has gone into this, boys.
One thing that I really liked when you do R followed by F to do a replay, create route from a replay, you can skim turn by turn in the route and all your annotations show up. And I was able to then use those annotations to then edit the route, delete annotations that I didn't want, you know, waypoints that I didn't want, and add new waypoints, for example. So that really helped in generating and then editing routes.
Good point. There was another point that I was going to make that, and this will really help a mobile geo and specifically HIMS, the whole print your route, I forget the exact terminology that we use, but be able to actually, save a route to, save route directions. Thanks, Chris. Save route directions. That is now put into the SDK. It used to be completely in the user interface, and we moved that now into the SDK. So now Mobile Geo and SenseNav will be able to use that new function and be able to save routes exactly the same way that we can do. That we had the functionality, so they'll definitely love that little feature. And a lot of stuff I've been trying to make it so that it's in the SDK, so that this will be accessible to SenseNav and Mobile Geo. So, you know, it's been incredible. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed working on 5.0. There's a lot left to do, but this is one killer release, and can't wait for the next one.
I think the fact that we spent an hour and a half on 5.0 and 10 months of development time, I think it really shows just how much time, dedication, and just the amount of things that are included in 5.0. And I also really enjoyed working with 5.0 and just seeing, watching it grow from 4.22 to 5.0, and just having just the ability to watch it all, really, and also see the final product. And just now, just kind of sitting back and listening to all the different features and all the different comments, and seeing how people and myself are, I'm really enjoying 5.0, and I really think that the move from 4.22 to 5.0 was just phenomenal.
What is changes going to be when HumanWare decide to do the next update? Is there going to be any?
Junior has left the room.
Is there going to be any changes with your map and stuff? Is it going to, it'll be stable? And one other thing is that I always say what you guys do is tremendous. It's great. But, you know, there's a lot of hotkey, a lot of keys, a lot of command, a lot of da-da-da-da-da, you know, when you call window eye, JAWS, and user, or whatever, then you're using this. You know, you find out that, the veteran administrations are always looking out for new product, new this, new that. They want to simplify, but let's drop that part. But what about, you know, like the senior population really growing now, and
Charles LaPierre, $149 with no compact flash sash.
And you know, the changes, you know, like, to me, I don't have an issue learning. I'm a self-learner on this stuff, but the learning capacity is, for some people, would be overwhelming.
I think that when looking at 5.0, that just the fact that there are things like the point of interest actions menu, and that it's organized by in a list that so you can scroll down and see the different options. And this is also true in the address lookup and when defining latitude and longitude, that there's a menu so you can choose different options. And I think that Sendero is making a first step, or the first few steps, towards this direction of looking at people who aren't exactly keyboard or keystroke centric or can't memorize keystrokes as easily.
Yeah, and we're also looking at possibly doing a completely new keyboard layout, a simple keyboard layout for the common functions on single keys, and no cording or no, you know. So we're looking into some of that stuff. We didn't, the functionality is there, we just didn't expose it to anyone because there were some issues with different types of Braille grades and stuff that wasn't working exactly the way we wanted it. But we're looking into a simple keyboard layout, possibly for the VA and other organizations. So we are looking into making things simpler in the future.
Thank you. My comment, that's all. It's the way I am.
So that's pretty much a summary of all the different features and functions in 5.0. There's been a lot of other changes. We completely redid the root saving and loading of roots and points of interest. Hello, honey. I'm talking to a whole bunch of people. Do you want to say hi? Can you say no? You don't want to say hi? No?
Okay.
I see. Okay.
Guess what?
What?
Into the toy box?
No, you don't put milk into the toy box, honey. I'm sure everyone wanted to hear that in GPS land. Say
goodnight.
I know. Say goodnight to everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodnight.
Night. That was cute.
That was awesome. I love hearing that. I'll say goodnight to you all, too. It's getting time for me to get ready for Monday morning, unfortunately. It's back to work tomorrow. So thanks a lot, Charles, and everybody, for a great job. I'm thoroughly enjoying 5.0, and it was a pleasure to work on it, and look forward to the next one. So long, y'all.
One really neat thing for Braille users, if you do a P chord to get details, and then as soon as you press P, the phone number appears right at the beginning of the Braille display. Same with street, or A for address, S for street, P for phone number. So that really speeds looking things up. I can be looking at Pike's Place Bakery here in Seattle, Washington, and then exit details and do a backspace with .3 and skim quickly within a few seconds down to my user points in Los Angeles and be at those points. So that kind of functionality I find really to be helpful.
There you go. There's another feature at the backspace .3 or the control with U. I think that's the command on the QT, but that's a hotkey. You can define the category or subcategory, so you can set it to user private, user public, or any category or subcategory category that you want, so you can also hear Chinese restaurants and quickly press that keystroke and be presented with a list of nearby points of interest pertaining to that particular category and subcategory.
Right, and, yeah, and exactly. That was a huge, simple to add in, but it's going to be really powerful, I think, for users. And it's totally something that HIMS and Mobile Geo could implement if they wanted to in the future, to have a hotkey that is user definable to search for a specific POI category and subcategory around you, which is really powerful, you know, as things, you know, there's so much data out there, to be able to quickly find it is a real powerful tool. Yes, you are on. I guess it would be Jose.
What are you going to repeat this to have another? Is this going to be archived? And also, is it You going to do another one of the sessions in the near future?
Yeah, Chris is recording it, and we may be doing another one since it was very well received. You know, the room was packed. Mike actually had to leave, and we were up to capacity at 20 there for quite a while, and we're still at quite a few people right now, and people are probably still trying to get in. It'd be interesting to see how many people were trying to get in and couldn't, but we may decide to do another one in the future. You know, I'm going to be busy trying to get an SDK out and then going on vacation, so it might be in a few weeks. But we may, you know, depending on how things go, we'll see. We'll entertain that again. Oh, Mike wants to say a few words here, too.
Yeah, I sent an email to the talking community people, and they were fortunately monitoring and bumped the room size up to 30, so at least nobody should be getting blocked out.
Oh, good. But I was going to say, next time you do this, I won't come in if let other people come in.
I got a real quick question, not having really anything to do with 5.0. I created a new user poi yesterday for Ralph's, and I've got the main category, but I accidentally put the wrong subcategory in. How do I get rid of the subcategory?
Okay, but was this created under 5.0 or under 4.22?
5.0.
Okay, easy. You just go into the POI editor, which is Backspace P? Space with P, read P, thank you. And then go down to either the POI category or subcategory, press enter on either of those, and then it'll ask you for the category again, and then it'll ask you for the subcategory, and you can change it right there.
Okay, good, thank you.
Well, Dave, hold your right key down, you might be able to talk. I should say right control key. And then start talking.
You're not coming through. You're not coming through, Jose. Try checking your mic settings.
Well, yeah, it's been really, really great. 5.0, I'm so pleased with, and actually, I'm kind of surprised that we haven't really had to come out with a patch right away that really shows the amount of work that the beta testers and alpha testers did an amazing job to get everything finalized and well tested. So I got to give definitely a lot of props to these guys that tirelessly, especially Kevin. My gosh, he was like a madman there, finding bugs that made me pull my hair out to fix them. But it was a lot of fun. He did a great job testing, but the entire team was just incredible. You know, Chris was there answering questions, helping me out, figuring out the best user interface. And I think that it really shows that the quality of 5.0 for you guys is how much, you know, all these guys worked on this. I know there was, you know, we were putting in quite a few hours and on weekends and above and beyond to get this release out. So definitely for everyone that was involved, you know, Mike was out there beating the drum and coming up with new and different ways of looking at problems and trying to come up with the simplest solution, the most concise way of saying something so that we wouldn't have a lot of verbiage blasted at you guys. All in all, an incredible effort, right, you know, from Sheila and everyone at the main office, getting out orders and talking to all of you folks on the phones, and both Gil and Chris on the phones for tech support. You know, it's just it's been a really great privilege to work with all of you guys, and I think that 5.0 is a real feather in the Sendero cap for sure.
Hey, I have a question, and I've asked this before, and I always forget the answer to this. But I was in virtual mode in 5.0 just the other day, and I got into one of those situations where I'm traveling somewhere, I forget where, and I got that message, the street such and so, whatever it was, loops upon itself, and, you know, it put me back or something, but at any rate, I could not get out of that particular location. I'm wondering, A, what's, you know, why does it do that? And B, how do you get yourself out of that situation once you get into it?
That's a good question. Why does it do it? Basically, what's happening is there's some bug in, there's a couple different things. One, it could be a bug in the rich map engine that I'm asking it to go down a street, and when streets are really close to each other, or there's unnamed streets, a whole bunch of streets that the cul-de-sac, yeah, that they can loop upon itself, which is one thing. But there's other cases where the rich map engine gets confused when I say I want to go, down this street, and it picks the wrong street, and I end up back at the same street, and then my software gets confused. So then I just say, well, I'm back at the same lat lawn that I started at, so the route had to, you know, loop back up on itself. It's something that we're aware of, and there's no real easy fix for that, except for you could try doing a virtual backup and not going down that street. You could try a parallel street that, you know, especially on, this usually happens on split streets where you have two streets that are right beside each other, and then you have these interconnecting little small unnamed streets that like there are dirt roads between the two that allow you to go from northbound to southbound, etc. That's when it usually happens, and also when there's a whole bunch of different streets coming at multiple different angles from the same location, that the system could get confused. Where the problem, and it would require a complete rewrite at this point of the entire virtual navigation, on how that all works, how we go down different streets. Something I want to do, but it's that in itself is like a 2-3 month project, and it's just hasn't been high enough on the priority list to get done at this point. So there's the honest facts for you.
I think it's really impressive with looking at 5.0 as compared to, like, say 4.0 or 4.2, because I think within 2 weeks of both 4.0 and 4.2 being out, there were 3 patches available for 4.0 and 2 patches for 4.2. And it's already been 2 weeks for 5.0, and no one's found any significant big enough bugs to result in the patch.
One other really neat feature regarding the maps is the ability to download a whole region at a time. So, for example, you can download any one of 9 regions and get a number of states at a time, which greatly increases the speed with which you can get the whole country.
Charles, you ever consider going to Palo Alto and then go to El Camino Real and go to that one intersection close to California Street? I can't tell you what direction, but you got to... Oh man, we go through a lot of mobility. That helps us counter there for mobility training. You have like 6, 7, 8, 10 different light intersection change. You know, you have to go in the middle of the island and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? Have you tried it in that area? If you did, how did it work?
No, I'm not familiar with that area. If you give me the intersection, I'll take a look at it at some point and see how we behave. But didn't know about that intersection, actually. I worked down there, so, but I don't remember that intersection. Send me that off list there, Jerry.
Oh, I'll get back with you because very popular intersection.
I was just curious. Bob just mentioned something about downloading whole regions. Are those available as packages, or how does that work? How do you do something like that?
Well, it's just you know, instead of just California or Alabama or Texas or whatever, there's a number of different, like U.S. One USA, Western, two USA, Southeast, or we have multiple different regions. And when you pick on USA as your download country, we explain what states are in each region, and then you can just pick the zip file that allows you to download that. But in the same list that you're looking at, there's also the individual states as well.
Okay, thanks. I'll have to check that out, yeah, because I may be traveling back to the southeast part of the country over the holidays, and I might want to do that.
And we can thank Bob Sweetman and Carl Simmons for compiling the different regions and figuring out how they should be laid out.
That was Carl and Robert Sweetman that's in the list chat room tonight, so thanks to both of those guys. Oh, and Chris for uploading them. And compiling them, because that was and Marla for not killing him for uploading those huge files and killing her internet speed.
I learned a lot tonight, and I just have a big homework to do here. I've been so busy, I haven't had time. I got so many projects going on, national, local, and I just don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to have to pull up the menu and go line by line and get this thing, figure it out. Because I love to share this thing online, too.
Well, guys, it's just about 8. It's been a couple hours here, and I should probably get moving here. I'm getting pretty tired. I have a early morning to start working on getting the next SDK out for Mobile Geo and SenseNav. So, big day for me tomorrow before I go on vacation. So, it's been a lot of fun. I hope that you guys learned a lot. You know, read the manuals, check out the audio tutorial. It's all great information there. We definitely spent a lot of time and effort in providing you these reference and resources. So I hope you take advantage of that. And the best thing to do is just play with it. Go out and use it, because you'll be surprised at all of the new information that you're now given. You know, it's a real powerful tool, and I hope that you guys you know, enjoy it. So anyway, you all take care. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday, and you know, with all that, you know, way to go, you guys. You guys have inspired me enough, you know, to get out this release and to make it as amazing that it is. And you know, I look forward to all of your feedback on the list and personally. And thanks again from all of us at Sendero to all of you. Happy GPSing.
Just want to give a big thank you to Sendero Group and Sendero Group and Charles and all the people that made this such a great release.
Thank you, Charles.
Sean just left the room.
Thank you, Mike, and thank Chris. And Charles just left, and then vote Tuesday, because it doesn't matter who you vote for, as long as you vote.
All right, guys. Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you. It's 5-0 rocks. It's a great release. Love it. Absolutely.
Thanks, Tom. You guys all take care. Good night, guys.
Night, guys.